for tuning in to WWGH 107.1 FM radio. My name is Linda Sims, and the name of this program is called A Voice of a People. We stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. And this show is live. You can also download free app called TuneIn on any electronic device and search WWGH. Remember, the name of that app is called TuneIn, and what you're looking for is WWGH. You can also call in anytime during 4:15 until top of the hour, 5 p.m. if you would like to ask any questions or comments of myself or my guest today. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-382-8552. Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio, 740-223-1515. Or www.logoschristianministries.com. I would like to say I give out my condolences to Pastor Jackie Peterson and her family for the loss of her mother yesterday. Miss Bertha was a very nice lady. I've known her for a while, and she would always ask me how was I doing, how my mother was doing. And my mother passed away some years ago. And then I had an adoptive mother, spiritual mother, Earlene Baskin Hatch, and she would always ask me how she was doing every time I saw her. So she will be truly missed and sadly missed, and I'm sure. And I'm praying for the family, and those of you who are listening, please lift up that family in prayer. They usually have free produce every third Saturday of every month, and that would be this Saturday, October the 17th, from 12 noon until 2 p.m. I will try to find out for sure by tomorrow when I'm on the air whether they're going to be able to do that because of the passing of her mother. Last but not least, Inspect Ohio LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 25 years of experience working for you. They are located in LaRue, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-262-0939. And not only am I lifting those people up who faithfully support this show, A Voice of a People, but those of you who faithfully listen, and if it's your first time listening, enjoy this show. I have one more thing. I have to open my show up with a thought for today, and it's called constancy. I guess that means constant, okay? To be a rock for others, I myself need to remain in stable ground or on stable ground. I need to know whom I am and what I can count on to give to others. This kind of constancy only develops when I follow the of recharging my spiritual batteries every day. The early morning hours are the most powerful time to draw peace, love from God in meditation. I can then walk through my day, trying to read my writing, with a, what is that word? wisdom, okay? A stack of wisdom, I think that is, and love, and the assurance that I can always be there for others in their time of need. So hopefully you understood what I was trying to say, constancy, and be there for others as you take care of yourself in the early mornings with your higher power. In this quote, it says, God. Now I return my attention to my guest today, Ronald Arusi.
Hi, Arusi.
Yep, I got it right.
He did well.
Thank you. He is the superintendent of Marion City Schools. I met him maybe at one of our meetings we had at the Sheriff's Department somewhere out there for Marion
Minority Commission, I believe.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I asked him to be on my show because, as we all know, we're still living in the age of coronavirus, yeah. Right? COVID-19. So how are you today, sir?
I'm very good. Let me just start by also echoing my sympathy and thoughtfulness to Pastor Jackie and her family.
Right.
She has been just a rock for this community, but also befriended me.
Yes.
When I arrived here in Marion, and she is part of my key communicators group. And
okay.
So I got a chance to send her a message yesterday, but just let her know that Marion City Schools is thinking about her and her
right,
family.
Right, absolutely.
So, right.
Yes, love her.
Yep, she's great. She is
so
great.
So give me a little information about you, because I don't know you that well, and my listeners maybe not know you either.
Yeah, sure. I'm a Northeast Ohio born and raised person. I grew up in a little town called Struthers, Ohio, which is just on the south side of Youngstown.
Okay.
It's a real, was once a great steel mill town. All of my family basically worked in the steel mills and grew up around that. They used to have a little open hearth fire that came out of one of the stacks. It was kind of my nightlight at night because I remember it, shining through my windows. So I grew up there in a blue-collar family, graduated from Struthers High School, spent most of my time around the Mahoning Valley, was a teacher and a football coach for a long time until I got into administration.
Wow.
And was a principal back actually at the high school that I graduated from, Struthers High School, for a few years. And then I went on and got my superintendent's license and had an opportunity to go to a little school district just south of Youngstown called Columbiana.
Okay.
Just a little district, kind of like about the same size of maybe a Elgin school district around there, kind of a rural type setting. Spent 5 years there as a superintendent, and then had an opportunity to be the county-wide superintendent in Mahoning County for 9 years. During that time, I was also Career Tech Center superintendent, so I did both roles, and that's really how I got to know a little bit about Marion City Schools. So the we actually partnered with Marion City Schools when Gary Barber was a superintendent here.
Right, I remember that.
He and I coached football together and kind of grew up together, so we've known each other for a long time. So while Gary was at Marion, I had an opportunity to partner with Marion City Schools on a few grants.
Okay,
there was a straight A grant that we were able to both apply for and partner in. I had a familiarity with Marion City Schools. And so when he left and Marion had an interim superintendent for a year, and then that position opened up, and we had some discussions, and I felt like this was a place that I was very familiar with. Marion's a lot like Youngstown, very similar type of community.
Okay.
So, and I really have a passion for working with school districts that are somewhat up against the odds. As you know, many of our students are affected by poverty and trauma and things like that. And so it's really what drew me to Marion City School. So I've been here. This is my start of my third year, although I feel like it's my first year as a superintendent.
Really?
Well, in the midst of a pandemic, I don't think either I missed class that day when I was preparing to be a superintendent, or somebody else forgot about it. There's really no manual on, how to operate schools during a pandemic. But I am very blessed and fortunate to have the staff over at Marion City that we do, and the community has been just really patient and understanding and cooperative as we try to navigate through these waters together. So it's been a good experience, but a learning experience for sure.
Absolutely. And for all of us, I mean, I know I'm older than you are, and I've never had a manual about how to conduct myself, my children, or well, we try to hope that everyone has decent hygiene anyway, washing of the hands and things like that. But truly, I think it threw us all off, this pandemic.
Yeah, I mean, I think back to March 16th, I believe, is when, we were in the midst of just learning more about COVID-19 and and how it might affect us. And I remember, there was some rumors about Governor DeWine issuing some orders at that point in time about some protections against COVID. And and I remember the first press conference, and then the next one, I think, was the next day on a Thursday when we had a few cases in Ohio when the governor decided that he would shut down schools and basically, you know, the whole state of Ohio. So we actually took that following Monday off for our students, give our teachers a chance to kind of prepare for what we thought was going to be a 2 or 3 week hiatus, but ended up, as you know, lasting through the end of the year. So again, I'll go back and give that those teachers and the students a lot of credit. For really within 3 days, we had to prepare for a completely online education and, you know, a different form of delivery. Absolutely. And one of the things that we did that I'm also really proud of is that we have 100% free and reduced lunch population in Marion City Schools. So all of our students are eligible for free or reduced lunch.
Okay.
And we are required still, though, even during the summer and during the year when we're off, to deliver meals to our students. So it was somewhat of a challenge to get those meals together, make sure our employees were safe, you know, figure out a way to deliver those meals to families. And we were averaging about 35,000 meals a week.
I give you all credit for that too.
Yeah. I'm, you know, Winnie Brewer is our nutrition services director, and she's about as good as it gets when it comes to that. And she did an outstanding job of making sure that all of those kids and families, you know, had food that they needed to during that time.
Right, so, she sure did. Yep. I was very impressed by how people came together and worked together. Mm-hmm. Do you think that our governor made a good decision?
You know, I respect all of the decisions that Governor DeWine made. We may not agree on all the politics and things like and probably on the other side of the aisle from him, but, you know, I can appreciate having to make really hard, tough decisions.
Yeah.
And I think at that point in time, I felt like he really had the best interest of Ohioans in mind when he did that. You know, there was a lot of political pressure and some other things at that point to do some different things, but, you know, I got to respect some of those decisions that he made. And I think, you know, for the most part, you know, we did a pretty good job of flattening the curve, you know, up until June when we kind of opened things back up again.
Right.
You know, we were doing okay as far as confirmed cases and those kinds of things.
And that was to be expected once we opened up again.
Yeah.
And here we are still open, and there's a resurge of, from what I understand, resurge of people contacting.
Oh, there definitely is the confirmed cases is on the rise. We've experienced it now in Marion City Schools. I thought we were doing really well there for a while. Mm-hmm. But as you know, we had to, I'll kind of take a couple steps back and tell you a little bit how we got to where we're at today. Way back in June, again, after we had kind of flattened the curve and things were going in the right direction, Marion Public Health and all of the county superintendents got together, and we made sure that we met on a regular basis to monitor how things were going. We were very fortunate at that point. Marion City Schools did not have one student that was diagnosed with coronavirus from March all the way through the end of the school year. So that was a good thing. And we felt, this is going to be okay. And, you know, maybe we can get our kids back in school, which has always been the goal. We've always wanted to get our kids back in school. We know they have to be in school, and some of our kids, quite honestly, are at risk when they're home by themselves and during this time period. So we wanted to make sure we can get all of our kids back in school. And so we planned fully on bringing the kids back again back in August when we would open up schools again. But we also knew that we'd have to have some options for those students who might be considered vulnerable or at risk, or maybe even just parents who were really skeptical and fearful of sending kids back full time. So we, at that point, we developed a completely online option for our students. Fast forward a little bit through July, you know, as we opened up, we saw, again, increases in cases, and alarmingly enough, there was an increase in some adolescent cases around Marion. So Marion Public Health Department, again, advised us that we should probably be looking at some different models rather than bringing the kids back full-time, face-to-face. And so that's where we developed our hybrid model, which only 50% of our students attend school 2 days a week. The other 3 days, they are remote learning. So we were able to, fortunately, get enough money in CARES Act money that was provided us through the state. We now have Chromebooks for every one of our students, which was a problem for us back in the spring, making sure that all of our students had devices. And we were also able to supply them with internet access. So all of our students have that. So we were able to implement a hybrid model that I feel like we've done fairly well with. our teachers see the kids twice a week, and then you know they're remote the other 3 days. So we bring in half the kids on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We shut the buildings down. The kids are all and teachers are all remote, and we do a deep clean through all of our buildings and sanitizing. And then the other group, the second group, comes back on Thursday and Friday. So, and then we have about 1,200 students that have taken the complete online option as well.
So how's that working out?
Well, I don't think it's a great situation because our kids aren't in school 5 days a week like they should be. So really, they're getting 2 days of face-to-face instruction, and then the other 3 days they're going through their online learning platform, which is a lot. It's very much self-directed. So the students sit down and they kind of go through. If you've seen kids these days, though, they can jump on a computer and navigate their way around well. So I think we're doing about as good as we possibly can, given that situation. Now, we actually expected, again, as we started to see a decrease in cases, we were making plans to bring our kids back at least 4 days a week.
Right.
And so we were looking at November 2nd to bring our elementary students back and then kind of wait on the middle school and high school kids. And I'll explain the difference here in a second. So Marion Public Health kind of recommended to us that younger students, especially elementary students, really are at less risk of spreading the virus. And so we felt like they were a little safer. As long as we could protect our staff members and get them the proper equipment and make sure that they're distanced, that they would be okay. But our middle school and high school kids are a little bit different story. And the size of our buildings makes a difference there. So, for example, Grant Middle School houses about 1,000 students. So, so to put 1,000 students in one building, you know, kind of that in that close proximity on a daily basis is a little bit more of a risk for us. So we had decided at that point just to bring our elementary students back a little bit earlier because we felt like it's safer. And just kind of wait and see how the middle school and high school, just to see if, you know, where we're at with the vaccine, you know, what's the virus going to do at that point in time. So our middle school and high school students would remain hybrid until January 11th. And then that would be the date that we would look at bringing them back. Now, those are all, unfortunately, what I've learned throughout this whole pandemic is things can change, you know, at the drop of a hat.
Absolutely.
And, you know, just as I feel comfortable and we're headed in the right direction, I usually get a phone call. Just like last week, we had done pretty well from the beginning of the school year until last week. We had no confirmed cases. I got a call not this past Friday, but the Friday before to notify us that we had our first confirmed case of an elementary student, actually. But the good thing was with that student was actually already under quarantine because of a family situation. So we didn't have to really quarantine anybody else. So, but last week was a different story. We had five other confirmed cases, either staff or students, and ended up having to quarantine about 20 students as a result of that. But then we got the call on Thursday that we had more of a precautionary measure, but we felt like there was a person that was diagnosed that really didn't know they were diagnosed for a couple of days, and there's potential exposure to almost every student in both group A and group B because of the time that person was there. So they recommended we go remote, which, you know, we had to do that. We were prepared for that. We felt like that was going to happen at some point. So Hayes Elementary at this point is under remote learning, and all the staff members there are under quarantine, so... which I really feel for those staff members over there who are basically locked in their homes for the next 14 days. Right. So.
Did they have any symptoms?
Nope.
Whatsoever.
Just, you know, and some look back on themselves maybe and say, oh, maybe I felt this way or that way, but very mild, you know, symptoms, almost in some being asymptomatic where they had no symptoms at all. So we really not had a case where we've actually had to send anybody home because they weren't feeling well and ended up being a case. These are typically just because they were in contact with someone else. You know, they found out through contact tracing that they were, you know, confirmed positive. So, yeah, I mean, I feel like we're doing okay given the situation. I know that there are other schools around that are really struggling. I had heard about a school at, I think it's Mount Gilead, which is not too far from us.
No, it's not.
That have about 140 students quarantined.
Oh, they do.
So, yeah.
Okay. But the school is still open.
Our schools are still open. And even at Hayes, you know, all of our teachers are still teaching and the kids are learning remotely. They're just doing it from home.
Right, doing it from home.
Right.
Whoever thought that that would be such a convenience, because it has turned out to be that, right? Even Zoom, having meetings and all that, you know. I didn't even know anything about Zoom until COVID, really. I'm like, what?
Well, yeah, I agree, you know, and gosh, it's really made us rethink sometimes, like, do we really need to be face-to-face all the time in meetings? And maybe, you know, maybe we can save some time and money by doing some virtual meetings now too. So I think as far as that aspect, I think the world's going to change in relation to, you know, those types of issues.
It really makes you think, should we be so close? You know what?
Yeah.
I mean, we're used to being close.
Yeah.
But.
Well, you know, it's not the same to, you know, typically I would come in the room here and shake your hand or say hello, or somebody I knew, I might even give a hug, but we don't do those kinds of things.
No, we don't do that
anymore.
You do
the elbow bump now, so that's the new high five, I guess.
Yes, and I hear that some churches have had some outbreaks too.
Yeah, that's Marion Public Health had a real concern that some churches here in Marion may have had some outbreaks as well, and so hopefully we can get that under control. And you know, you just never know. I hope, you know, if I could give a message to the community, I mean,
we
just really need to do our part and follow the protocols in place, because, you know, our kids need to be in school, and that really affects us. If we have some community spread, then our kids are at risk. And so I hopefully everybody listening will understand that everybody has to do their part, whether they agree with it or not.
Right.
It's just a matter of doing your part to protect others.
That's true. And, you know, I don't know how some people still feel that, you know, it's a hoax.
I know. Well, I know for a fact it's not a hoax. And anybody who's been affected by that, you know, within their family understands that.
I went in Subway to get lunch. There were four people in front of me. No mask.
Well, I would encourage local businesses too to really make sure that they're following their guidelines.
That's true.
And encourage people that if you want to come in, you need to wear a mask. And I know I can't tell you how many times I've got out of my car and walked in, you know, to a place and then realized I didn't. I turn around and walk out and get the mask. But that's understandable. But just to blatantly disrespect that kind of, you know, that situation, I don't think is the right thing for people to do.
I don't either. I even heard a lady say they're taking away my civil rights.
Yeah. Yeah. I get it. I understand.
It's sort of like protection.
I know. I liken it to seatbelts. You know,
I do too.
You put a seatbelt on to save people's lives as much as your own, and you get a ticket or a fine if you don't wear it. I mean,
that's true.
And I think COVID is probably a little bit more lethal even than not wearing a seatbelt. But so I would encourage people to look at it that way. It's just meant there to protect you.
And at least we do know that people have died from COVID, over 200,000+ people in the United States alone.
Right. Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, my mom passed away from COVID back in April.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
So again, when people say it's a hoax,
it's not.
Yeah, that kind of hits home. It's not a hoax. Definitely.
How old was she?
81 years old.
81.
Yeah. So she was doing okay, and it's, you know, it was a congregate situation in an assisted living facility that I think she was one of out of 85 total residents, 78 had been infected by the virus, and 43 in that facility passed away. So
I'm so sorry.
But I never, you know, and it's one of those situations I know what a lot of people are going through, especially at, you know, I'm sure Pastor Jackie
Peterson is
going to have to go through this situation. You can't have you know, in my family, two times we always got together were holidays and funerals and weddings, you know. Mm-hmm. So anytime we had an opportunity, and my whole family never really was able to put some closure to that, because we weren't really allowed to do that. So
True. It
was just a small kind of family get together. But yeah, so it's somewhat surreal to even think about it. But it definitely is not a hoax. People are dying from COVID-19.
Wow. I know. My heart goes out to everyone who has lost someone.
Right.
You know, with this COVID-19. Because, you know, like you said, it's not a hoax. It is real. People are still getting the virus. Mm-hmm. Just had to close down another school, mm-hmm. you know, and virtually. And like you said earlier, we only have like 50% of children mm-hmm. in the like Monday and Tuesday, right. And then Thursday and Friday anyway. So the rest of the students are being homeschooled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're remote learning, and you know, some of that is a burden on some of our families. Is, you know, I can't imagine, my wife and I both worked, and mm-hmm. and if we were in that situation, you know, typically my mom was the one who would watch our kids for us in those situations. But I couldn't even imagine, though, it, you know, my kids are grown now, but if they were young back in that age, mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. my mom would have to kind of help them through their homework and do all those kinds of things and navigate their way through technology. Because I'm sure there's grandparents out here in Marion that are probably given the responsibility of trying to help their grandkids with school every day. You know, I talk to a lot of people who have that responsibility. So, it's a difficult situation. It's difficult for the kids. It's difficult for families to be able to have to do this remote learning piece and provide the child care and daycare. And it's difficult for our teachers too. They want our kids back in front of them.
Right,
they know that.
Right. And they probably have children themselves.
Yeah, they do.
You know?
Many of them do. Sure.
They want them in school or what? I don't even know what happened to caretakers. I think some of them had to close down during the COVID.
There are very few daycares available. A lot of our private preschools around Marion had to close down because, you know, they just couldn't sustain. I think the limit was 9 students that they were allowed to have at any one time, and it's just not, you know.
Social distancing and mm-hmm, all that. And yep. It is a big burden on everyone, but like you said, we still have to do our part.
Yeah.
Hopefully it will just disappear.
Well,
I don't know about all that, huh?
I think, you know, I don't know. I'm not a scientist or anything like that,
but
I think that eventually, you know, as we develop vaccines and immunity and all those kinds of things. But I think it's going to take time. I don't see us not having to deal with COVID-19 at least till the end of this school year, which, because, you know, even if we do have a vaccine by the time it's marketed and distributed, I think it would be somewhat difficult. So I think we'll probably see some protocols in place in schools for quite some time yet.
I think so, too.
Yep.
Even our grocery stores and our community as we knew it before, I think it's going to be quite some time before we return to normalcy, right. What we consider normal. Even in the grocery stores, you have to have your mask on. I haven't seen a place that did not have a sign up,
right.
You know, no mask, no enter.
Right.
Even though people enter anyway, and some people are quite rude when they're approached about their mask.
Right. Yeah, yes. And they are. And again, you know, I think if we think about all of the ramifications of us not following those protocols, I think that's more important. And hopefully people will consider at this point.
Right. I hope they do, too. I know my dad used to work for Pollock Steel.
Oh, okay.
Which could turn into Armco. And then, yeah, he retired from there. I think he had like 40 years, you know. But he passed on in 1997.
Okay.
Yeah. But he was a steel man.
Steel man. Yeah. That's both my grandparents worked in a steel mill.
We had all those industries in Ohio, you know?
That's why I said, I think, you know, Youngstown was one of the hotbeds really in Ohio of steel. There were U.S. Steel was there and Republic Steel. And I know there were other steel mills across the state of Ohio, but just like in Marion, if you think about Marion Power Shovel and all of the manufacturing and related to that industry, boy, when those industries pick up and go, you know, I think even lately in Youngstown, one of the GM plants just closed down, which, you know, I remember GM at one point probably employed about 13,000 or 14,000 people.
Oh, yeah, big. You know? Yes, so, big employer, absolutely.
Right,
yes,
right.
I remember when they closed down. Mm-hmm. My sister was married to a guy who had a brother that lived in Detroit when they all closed down and all that, you know, took that buyout, you know, and things like that. So, and just share a little bit with our audience about you being on the radio before you have to leave.
this is fun. When I was fortunate at Struthers High School, we had a working radio station that was co-owned by the school district, and some in the community had a part to play in that. It was called WKTL. Mm-hmm. KTL stood for the Key to Learning. So, but we had, you know, it was an actual class for us that we could take, broadcasting. And so
That's
I had
neat.
An opportunity to do that. And then, you know, when I after I got done coaching football, I spent some time on the local radio stations in Youngstown doing color commentary for high school and college football games. So I enjoyed being in front of the microphone again. So
it is fun.
Yeah, it is.
It is fun. I enjoy it myself. I really do. Well, it's time for you to go, and thank you so much. Now, unless there was something you wanted to leave with us before you go.
No, Linda, I appreciate you you having me on today, and I hope that the listeners, again, if you know you have anything, any questions about Marion City Schools or anything like that, I would encourage people to visit our website.
Right.
But we also have email addresses listed on there that if they have a concern or question or any comments or anything like that, to please reach out to us, because we like to hear from our community.
Absolutely.
About how they feel like we're doing or any suggestions that
they
might have for
job.
Us. Thank you. Appreciate that. I enjoy being here.
I enjoyed having you
Thank
here.
You.
Ron Arusi.
Mm-hmm. You got it.
Superintendent of Marion City Schools. Thank you. And be safe
Thank
out
you.
There.
You be safe,
okay?
too. Thank
All
you.
All right. Absolutely. So how are everyone doing out there? Have you voted yet? You know, that's the theme of October until the first week of November 3rd. Get out the vote. Okay. Now, early in-person voting has already started. Okay. It started October 6th. Now, if you did not register to vote, it's too late. Okay? So that means that maybe you didn't intend on voting anyway. And shame on you if you did not. Okay? So October 6th, early voting started 2 Saturdays, 2 Sundays, and Monday before Election Day. Okay, Marion County Board of Elections Early Vote Center location. Now, if you do not know and you are registered to vote, this will not be held at the Marion County Building, but will be held at 240 West Church Street, Marion, Ohio, 43302, directly behind City Hall. Okay, again, the Marion County Board of Elections Early Vote Center location, 240 West Church Street, Marion, Ohio, 43302, directly behind City Hall. Absentee voting by mail. It also began October 6th, which is like 20. You have 28 days from the 6th of October. I know it's already the 12th, so subtract 6 days from 28 days, which leaves you 22 days before Election Day. You still have that chance to vote. Election Day is November 3rd. Polls will open at 6:30 a.m. until 7:30 p.m. Okay. Absentee voting by mail begins, like we said, and it ends November the 2nd. Okay. Deadline to request an absentee ballot is noon, October the 31st. So you still have time to do that. But that's still cutting it kind of close in hopes that it will be at the border registration by November 3rd and to be counted. So I suggest you get your request your absentee ballot at least a week before October the 31st, just to be sure your vote is counted. Now, I have one more thing to share with you as far as early in-person voting hours for October. We're going to deal with right now, October the 12th through the 16th. Begins at 8 a.m. until 5 p.m. at 240 West Church Street, Marion, Ohio, directly behind City Hall. Okay? Some of these things you can note on your calendar. Your mailed-in absentee ballots must be postmarked by November 2nd. General election polls are open from 6:30 a.m. until 7:30 p.m. November 3rd, voters are able to drop off absentee ballots at their County Board of Elections office until 7:30 p.m. So if you're late getting your absentee ballot to the Board of Elections, you have until November the 3rd at 7:30 p.m., okay? All right. Now, WWGH is having a candidate night Thursday, October 22nd, here at 165 West Church Street on the second floor of the Ohio Health Building. This will begin at 7 p.m. and is sponsored by Billy Buster's Pizza, Waldo, Ohio. And that will be held here at the studio, WWGH. Okay, we're on the second floor of 165 West Center Street. Okay, I did not get a chance to get into this. There's so much going on, and it seems like my plate is always full, and I'm not able to take advantage of a lot of things that are going on, okay? But there seems to be Folk Life in Oral History Program, Black History Community Co-Curation Cycle Number 1. Dream, Listen, Collaborate to build a pop-up exhibit celebrating Black life, history, art, futures in Marion County. So if your family has history in Marion County, maybe 100 years ago, maybe you could enjoy being a part of this. And this is on Zoom, which we talked about earlier. We didn't even know about Zoom until COVID, really. At least I didn't. Maybe some of you other people have. But thank God for these new inventions, okay? Fall 2020 Community Co-Curation Cycle started September 28th. Open weekly meetings Mondays 6 to 7 p.m. on Zoom until November the 23rd. Come as you can. Stipends available. Okay, I kind of put that announcement in the middle of my guest, Rana Arusi, Superintendent of Marion City Schools. Now, I would like to say thank you once again for being my guest today. I really enjoyed him. I think he's really doing a good job as Superintendent of Marion City Schools. I think the schools have been doing a good job keeping our children safe and making sure the kitchen makes sure that they have their meals that they needed, whether they're in school or out of school. I really think that all of us have done a good job during this pandemic. Everybody may not agree about the decisions that were made and had to be made, but overall, some of us are still safe and healthy, and I think that's all because of the precautionary measures that were taken from the governor on down, even to the superintendent of schools, the health departments in different counties of the state of Ohio. And I think our president did a good job. And I understand that he didn't want everybody to be in a panic, because they would have been. We were already panicked. We didn't know what to do or what to say or how to go about, oh, wow, this strange and odd thing has happened and it is in our country, you know, and it came from way over there in China. Oh, my. What was he to do? I don't know. And I think the measures that he took were precautionary measures, maybe not as far-fetched as some people thought they should have been, and blaming those deaths on him, I don't think that's fair either, but who am I? But given my opinion, but I think he did a lot for the people with the stroke of his pen. He helped those who were unemployed. Wow, could you imagine getting $600 plus your extended onto your being laid off from your regular job and whatever they would give you, $300-$400 a week plus $600 a week. Wow. Those of us who received $1,200, it was truly necessary and needed and helped us to sustain for months, to have food and whatever other supplies that we may have needed. And small businesses was able to also pay their employees that could not come to work. I just think that overall that everyone played a part, and I think everyone did the best that they could under the circumstances. And if you don't agree, please call 839-9944. Because right now it is what it is. My heart truly goes out to my friend Jackie Peterson. I'm praying for you and your family. I wish you well. I couldn't even imagine having to go through this and the restraints that may be upon your family as far as a family gathering and things like that, or even your friends and neighbors, because you are a pillar to our community, even in the church world. You're a female pastor. You stand strong. And we appreciate you and we love you for all that you do. And if there's anything that we can do, please give us a call here at the station, 740-383-9944. We will be reaching out to you personally, okay, to see if there is anything that we can do to help you through this time of bereavement. And like I said, my heart and mind goes out to all those who did lose a loved one during this awful time of this, related to this pandemic. Okay. Alrighty here. Now let me share something else with you that I happened to run across. I'm thinking, well, he had to leave early, Dr. Russo. He had to leave early. So what am I going to do other than give announcements, okay? I had a little clip here that I may have talked about in the past. It's dated 7/23/2016. And it's also titled, Forget the Past. How many times have you been told to forget the past? And how many times have you been put in a position that you know you need to forget the past, but you just can't let the past go? And it's so hard for you to move forward because you cannot let the past go. And hopefully, some of these little tidbits I can share with you will help you as well as me. So, you can never win an argument with a negative person. They only hear what suits them and listen only to respond. They're just waiting on you to finish that last word so they can just give it to you and give you their peace of mind. I know you know someone like that. I think we all do, right? Because it may not be nice, their response either, okay? Because they already got an attitude. I'm slowly learning that some people are just not good for me. And maybe not good for you too. And you have to distinguish between who is good for me and who is not good for me. Who's helping me? Who can I help? Who's hurting me? And who am I hurting? You have to sever those relationships. Okay? It is still incredibly hard to let go of them because we have attachments with people. It doesn't matter whether they're good for us or not. And sometimes you can hang or be around a person you know is not good for you, and you be hoping and thinking that, you know, they would get something from you more positive and, you know, maybe change their ways or the way they act or the way they talk. But you know what? No, they will draw you before you draw them. And that's even from the Bible. Bad communication corrupt good manners. That's word. That's Proverbs. That's wisdom. Okay? But at least, I realize that I deserve someone better in my life, and that's the first step. You can realize that, but then you have to do something about it, right? All I want is to live a simple life without stress and worry. And that's almost impossible because right now we live in the age of COVID-19. And there are a lot of people worried. There's a lot of people afraid. There's a lot of people dealing with stress during this time. As my guest was saying, you know, you can't walk up and hug people anymore. You know, you have to be skeptical. You have to be protective, not only of them, but yourself. Because COVID is real and it's out there, and people are still contracting, however is the correct pronunciation or wording, this disease. Okay? So we have to be wise also during this time. Have you heard this before? I don't need a lot of money and stuff. I just want to be happy. Be happy. Be happy. Put a smile on your face. Before you leave that house, you look in your mirror and you smile at yourself in that mirror. You fix your face at that moment, and that's what others should be able to see from you all day long. And when you get home, you still have that smile on your face. But pull that face up. Don't let it droop too long. Pull that face up. Here's another one. Believe what your heart tells you, not what others say. That gut feeling. Have you ever had that gut feeling and it almost makes you sick to think, oh, what's going on? I can't stand this. You know, I got to get away from here. Pay attention to those things. Do not override those things, because you know what? You will regret it if you don't. Here's another one. Respect is earned. Honesty is appreciated. Trust is gained. Loyalty is returned. If you want respect, you got to earn it. I've heard that so many times in my life. If you want respect, you got to earn it. People just do not give you respect. And that may be true. But how do I earn it? By respecting other people and treating other people as I want them to treat me. That is one of the basics that my mother taught each and every one of us. There is a way to treat everybody. You treat people the way that you want them to treat you. And be by your side when you're in need. So you be by other people's side when they are in need. That brings me back to Pastor Jackie Peterson and the loss of her mother, Mother Bertha. She was the mother of her church. And I know that she is sadly missing her mother at this time. Her children and her grandchildren, her sisters and her nieces and nephews and the whole entire family. Please lift them up. Please lift them up in prayer. Overthinking is the biggest cause of unhappiness, and this is the last one that I will be able to leave with you. And don't forget the information I gave you about early voting. Get out the vote. I pray that a lot of people who had never voted did register to vote and will actually go and vote and have voted already. Thank you for listening to A Voice of a People. My name is Linda Sims, and your dial should be set on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. Now, I will be on tomorrow. Jeff Porter will be here. Expressions of the Last Days. We will be talking about end time events that can coincide with what's going on today. We don't know when Jesus is coming back, but we just know that he's coming. Okay? Now, be careful out there. Be safe. Make sure your hands are washed. You do your social distancing. And don't forget to tune in again. Till next time, be blessed.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 LP Marion, Ohio. The place to talk. From legendary comedian Abe Vigoda.
Can you still recite Shakespeare?
Yes. Methinks I am a prophet new inspired, and thus aspiring to foretell of him. His rash, fierce blaze of riot cannot last, for violent fires soon burn out themselves. Like vanity, insatiate cormorants, consuming means soon preys upon the soul. And go on, this royal throne of kings, this sceptered isle, this earth of Mars. Yes, I did Shakespeare, and I retained the dialogue.
To Emmy Award-winning star of Picket Fences, Five-ish Finkel.
If I were a rich man, all day long I'd bitty-bitty-bum. If I were a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work hard.